We spoke to a range of Conservative MPs about their expectations for the Prime Minister's speech. And, of course, the speech was delivered on a day in the end when many of them were in their constituencies dealing with complaints about nuisance neighbours rather than arguments with our European neighbours. Undeterred, we tracked him down, often on dodgy phone lines, and speaking from his local building society in Peterborough, Stuart Jackson, who told us this week he was investing a lot in the speech and it could define the next general election, well, he did sound pretty loyal. He heralded what he saw as progress from the Prime Minister.
I think it would be churlish of me not to welcome these changes. I think they are genuine. But the other thing, of course, is that it would be foolish to bind the Prime Minister's hands in these negotiations. Politics is the art of the possible, and I think he doesn't want to eat too much of the cake today. He wants to be in a position where there is flexibility and he has a few more weapons in his arsenal.
Some of those weapons, of course, pointing at him, though, because Nigel Mills, who has a majority of around 500 in his Amber Valley constituency, had called in this programme for a cap in the number of EU migrants, and he was certainly disappointed that that wasn't in the Prime Minister's speech.
Well, I still think the message we needed was that we would put an absolute cap on it, because we have too many people coming. The only comprehensible way of stopping that is to say, look, here's how many we're prepared to take each year. So I think people will like these measures, but on the day after we saw net migration hit 260,000, I think people will say, actually, we need to find a way of saying how many people do we think net each year we can actually cope with and need and want, and we need to actually have a limit and say we will stop any more over that number.
Now, his colleague Jacob Rees-Mogg has often called for pacts with UKIP, so for him, there was one very welcome sentence in the speech.
The most important sentence is when he says, if our concerns fall on deaf ears, then, of course, I rule nothing out. That is not explicitly saying that he will lead the out campaign, but it's very close to saying that. The Prime Minister hasn't come close to saying that before. He's always given the impression that whatever the result of the renegotiation, he would want to stay in. But I think it answers a lot of UKIP's concerns.
And no phone round of Conservative MPs in Europe would be complete without the chair of the European Scrutiny Committee, Bill Cash.
I have to say that, unfortunately, I don't think that it goes far enough. And the question really turns on the existing European rules and the treaties themselves. And without actually dealing with that question, particularly with respect to the question of a cap, then I'm afraid that it's not going to be possible to deal with the problem as effectively as it could be.
Now, we've heard from what could reasonably be described as Eurosceptics, but there are still MPs in the Conservative Party who are enthusiastic about EU membership. It's just that they keep their heads below the parapet. Nonetheless, off the record, they whispered their concerns like a guilty secret into my ears. One of them said the Prime Minister shouldn't be singing UKIP's song, that the way to tackle immigration and cut down on benefits was to make sure people were paid the living wage. Another said that nothing the Conservative Party does will make the UKIP threat go away, and the Prime Minister would not have appeased many of his Eurosceptic backbenchers. Well, never a truer word, Mark, because one of them said off the record that the Prime Minister's speech was weak, that people had been led up the garden path, and it would give UKIP a few million more votes. And on the record, a different MP, I stress, Sir Gerald Howarth, well, he was almost as robust.
We cannot go on in a situation like this, where the British people are fed up and the Prime Minister says he gets it. Well, if he gets it, my advice to him is, let us go out and do something now and tell our European partners we are not beholden to them, we cannot be dictated to by them, we need action this day. And if our European partners don't like it, well, tough. We are a free, sovereign nation and we cannot be